And he had composed it, and I think excellently composed it. It is a woman holding a child at her breast, and the music is very wild because the nature of the woman and is very near to nature and not tamed or anything.
Yes.
And now Castronic thought that was ridiculous. He thought a woman cannot be alone. That must be a whole bunch of people dancing. And so he immediately told Eric to forget that and he would change it. And so he invented the dancer Kulila, to whom then the whole crowd is dancing around her instead of just one mother, rocking her child.
Yes. He even shifts the scene, doesn't he?
And and he shifted the scene to Africa, I think.
Yes.
Instead of to the back porch in Louisiana or where it was. And Eric immediately consented because that's the way he was. His brother, when I was going to marry him, said to me, "Look here, I think we will be quite happy with Eric, but one thing I must tell you, that when he says he comes at 5 o'clock and is on his way and he will meet somebody else who says go somewhere else, he will go somewhere else if that person is enough, and you will wait in vain." And it wasn't quite like this later on, but he was like this. He was so easily persuaded. It was just probably a lot of things were lost this way. They were probably should have lived.
And the other composition from 1930, a piece that's quite different from the African songs, is the first string quartet. Now this is interesting from many points of view, and perhaps you can talk a little bit about how it was put together originally and what happened to the first two movements.
I'm not quite sure whether they are here or not, and I would have to look for them. Maybe they were lost too. He always wanted to write chamber music, but never felt quite secure enough to do it. And for the quartet, to write the quartet, he went to Cowder, a teacher who had a lot of patience and was very nice. I think Eric appreciated him very much. And he brought Eric through that, and he finished the quartet, was something that Stör wasn't able to do. And Marx, I think, never attempted, because Marx himself was a leader, mostly a leader composer. And at that time he brought it to the Galimirs, who were a young rising quartet, and very good. And they took it and played it quite a bit. Now, among the performances was also a performance in the League of Composers. That was a league of the composers that lived in Austria.
Yes.
And that gave concerts periodically. Not too often, maybe one or two times a year. And Eric had, of course, always tried to go to be published, and he made numerous trips to the Universal Edition, and they always turned him down. And I can understand, he was such a wild fellow, and it was hard to see whether he was only crazy or really something, you know. And he had no real approach and didn't know how to handle people, and was always saying disagreeable things to them. And so nobody liked him there too much. There was one exception, a director Winter, who was fond of him, but he didn't have too much influence. And the people that were influential there were usually people that came from the Schönberg school, and they didn't really look at the thing. It was tonal, and that was enough for them to not look there a second time. And